man. This aircon is racist.
I've never ever been a spy.
Can the VBS bank loot?
The problem is that Pinky.
I'll never subject myself to whiteness.
I'm listening.
Can you have consistency, Honorable Chair?
Corruption was an Olympic sport. They will always win gold.
This is not a shit.
Sergeant at arms, can you please come
on the
in?
Point of order.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Sunday Times Politics Weekly. We are one day before elections, the big 2019 national elections, and we thought we'd give you guys one more podcast just to set your mind at ease if you're still wondering who to vote for tomorrow, although we're not going to tell you who to vote for, but I'm sure expert insight in here may help you out a little bit. In the studio this week, I've got with me Apiwe de Klerk, Juanita Hunter, and surprisingly, after a very long time, Ranjini Munsami. Guys, thank you so much for joining me this week. This is a very important podcast, I think, for us. I think we've been building up to this point for the past 2 months, especially here in studio. And let's start how we always start with our story this week at the Sunday Times. And our front page story revealed how Jimmy Mzwanele Money's party,
the African and he's not even the leader, but he's associated with
well,
the party.
I think he's the face of the party, I mean, for us at least, in the media. And how his party was almost planned in the Thuli House with Jacob Zuma and his compatriots in the ANC. Some reflections on that. I mean, we all sort of had our suspicions in the beginning when Money announced the party that there may have been some ulterior motive here and maybe a bit of a fight back from the Zuma guys. But they denied that on the outset. And now there seems to be people from the party coming on saying, actually, this was devised. We would devise the manifesto, and the NC people from the NC devised the manifesto. And a lot of input came from the Zuma camp.
Yeah. This story... It's not that surprising, but the people from that party have always said we are going all out trying to prove that we are not a Zuma party. Mm. I remember their president, when we spoke to him 2 weeks or so ago, he was stressing that this association with Zuma and whatnot is wrong, and we must his people and even the media need to stop this association. The Sunday story, it's a blow for them, and it's very shocking, meeting in Thuli House.
Mm. But also what made it different is that these claims have been made under oath in court. So I think it takes it a bit further to say, you know, it was made by someone who was part of the core team that set up African transformation movement, which primarily relies on the church support, right? Yeah. So it's basically a vehicle to get us. What are the churches?
The Messianic churches.
Yes,
Messianic churches. So I think it's a very clever strategy to use the churches. So previously, the most organized force in the country was Labour, was COSATU. Mm-hmm. And that is why the alliance held through thick and thin, because the ANC needed COSATU's organization power and membership. But we know that the labor sector has been disintegrating and COSATU's membership has dipped. So you've had the new labor federation registered. So there's, no obvious political alliance inside of labor. So the next most organized thing, or probably even more organized now than labor, is the religious sector. You have mass membership of these messianic churches, and they go into million. I mean, they're claiming 30 million. I don't think that's true. I mean, I think there's like 30 million adults in the country. I don't think that that's a true reflection. But what I think is that they have a loyal following of people. So whoever came up with this strategy is very smart, because what they're doing is they're trying to translate faith an organization into political organization.
Which has not been tested in South Africa.
It hasn't. Mm. But in the US, for example, it did work to an extent, because if you look at the Republican support base. It was, you know, they used the churches and they used Christianity to be able to mobilize people. So, for example, some people deliberately voted against Hillary Clinton because of issues like abortion. You know, so it was, it wasn't so much as a pro-Trump vote as an anti-Hillary vote based on, you know, your religious beliefs.
Mm.
So this is kind of a new phase that we're in now, where they what they've done is try and link your faith to politics. And Kanita, you know that, I mean, it's not only Christian, although there are several Christian-based parties on the ballot, but there are also other religious organizations. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of an experiment, I think, that we're in now.
But I also think that it was last year when Zuma had just been removed from as president. There were reports, I think myself and our politics editor, Sibonga Kongeshowa, wrote about this, that there were these talks about creating a vehicle that would not particularly be to compete with the ANC vote, because you can't compete with the ANC vote, but to set up a launching pad if something happens to the Zuma people. And this was manifested. There was, you know, that there was talk about a party, you know, in KZN that was formed, and then Zuma sort of distanced himself from that. And for a long time, there has been this constant talk that the creation of these parties are not meant, and this is the response to the story we saw, that how can they be involved in this party if they're busy campaigning for the ANC? That's not the point. The point, I think, was the involvement of Zuma and Ace Magashule in setting up an opposition party is to create a vehicle that would be strong enough, that would be used, A, if they need it for numbers, for example, in coalitions, as we saw with the Patriotic Alliance, because the Patriotic Alliance is often deemed as a brainchild of Zuma that told Kenny Kunene go set up a party, you know, to especially in the Western Cape. That was the thinking at the time. It had Zuma's blessings. So this was not the first time we see the manifestation of this. It's just that now it's been put at the door, you know, of literally ours.
Okay, we're going to take a short break, and when we get back, we're going to delve into our election speak about with elections coming up tomorrow.
Tune in to Cargumentative every Monday morning on Times Live Motoring. You can join myself, Thomas Faulkner, and my regular gang of automotive misfits as we discuss motoring news, views, and of course have a cargument or two. That's Cargumentative only on Times Live Motoring.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you again for joining us. We're talking about the African Transformation Movement, and just like that, we've seen the upsurge of other parties with very similar rhetoric and also with very similar aligned people. If we look at a party that was started by Mr. Stadi Motsoeneng, former SABC boss, and they start to speak the same language, don't they? Is this another example of one of these party offshoots from the Zuma camp?
So when you look at the ballot, right, you see Stadi Motsoeneng, you see African Transformation Movement. You also see a party headed by Adil Ntshebeleng.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Called?
I forget the name. but their motto is the IPP fight. Remember, you've been fighting against IPPs, BLF. These are all people that literally stand on stage when Zuma appears in court. So you can't say it's an imaginary thing that these are Zuma support. These are people, you know, are known or found legitimacy in their support for Zuma.
But Zuma even said in KZN, we must vote for Mutama. Remember that that appearance when he said, so BLF, especially, it's his thing.
And there have been several photo shoots with him in the midst of the campaign, even this weekend. Yes, they attended an event for his trust, and they don't hide it. You know, it's And that's what's bizarre about it, is that, he, you know, previously there was some like form of denial that there are links to him, but now it's part of the game that there are these other parties that are rotating around Zuma, and the ANC just pretends it's not happening.
Yeah. So there's this conspiracy theory, which has moved around for quite a bit, is that the plan was always to have one solid alternative of all of these, like a Zuma party. And then they started fighting amongst themselves about who can't lead, you know, you can't lead me, I can't be led by you, etc. And so that's why the split. But for the longest time, there has been this almost understated conviction that whatever Cloud is doing or whatever BLF is doing is endorsed by Zuma as a former president of the ANC and who is meant to be campaigning for the party.
But let's not forget that the underlying basis on which all these parties were formed comes from the Bell-Pottinger project. Mm. Because remember, from there, the narrative of white monopoly capital grew traction. So, I mean, it's not new, but that's where it got gained traction, and the whole radical economic transformation line. So, you know, there became more militancy and organization around these issues. And that's the basis on which all of them are now campaigning. So, you know, it's anti-establishment, anti-white capital, and obviously, you know, they're trying to advance this line that, you know, now is the moment to try and advocate and get into government policy more sort of African-aligned or designed policies. But in reality, when you look at their policies, so with Claudia Motsoeneng, I think that one is the most transparent because, you know, it's called African Content Movement and it's about what plays on radio, you know, and it's not something that affects...
But that's not the most bizarre thing of this election.
But, I mean, in a country that's in such a state of crisis, you know, there's like entrenched poverty and joblessness and things. I mean, really what you hear on radio is, look, it's a massive issue for artists. But when you're doing a national campaign, there has to be more bread and butter issues involved in it. And that's what I think raises all these questions as to where is all this heading? What can be, what will happen that where all these people then throw their votes into one pot and do what with it?
Be some sort of an alliance if they are in parliament when it comes down to a vote that they would vote against the ANC as a grouping, or would they have the same caucus, for instance? I also think
maybe we're reading too much into it. Maybe it's also just a job opportunity for people who are unemployable.
That's true.
But
very true. Yeah.
How many votes is Cloud going to get?
Let's not speculate. Let's move on to another small party that's creating a bit of stir on Twitter and social media. It's the Capitalist Party of South Africa with a very different sets of views to these parties that we've just been talking about. They say that we should abolish minimum wages and allow any person to work at wages they see fit. They want to stop the state's intervention, and they basically focused on free market economies, and they also want to protect private property and the laws around that. Promote gun ownership.
In South Africa,
Ranjani has the expectation.
Yeah. So you take this one.
Does a party like this have an atmosphere or have an environment in South Africa and in our society?
Right, well, now? You see, the thing is that with so many undecided voters and restless voters, anything can fly. Mm. Anybody is going to get something. Now, the thing about this party is that they sort of degrade personalities on Twitter, and they're trying to translate that into, and that's what's happening in this election, is that anybody who has any kind of traction, you know, on the outside is trying to convert that into a sort of a political presence. And so they've taken this contrarian views, you know, and trying to go against the grain of where everybody else is heading. So on the land issue, you know,
they're essentially saying that they are what the DA is supposed to be. When I spoke to Quentin Pillay a few weeks ago, he said that the DA had lost its liberal values and this party now stands for what the DA is supposed to be.
But it doesn't translate to South African, any South African reality. This is like a Western thing where it's like, where government has no role and this liberty and this freedom and this, you know, everyone must be freedom, absolute freedom of speech. We don't live in the same reality. We live in a different world where these ideas perpetuate in other countries.
Well, I think this is closest you can come to a Trumpish party in South Africa. You know, you can see a mirroring in terms of policy. So do not be surprised if this party wins anything and then starts building walls all over the show. And one thing it will do is that maybe it will invigorate the construction sector, you know, if we build the wall.
That's about it. One last thing about small parties. Do we think that COPE has a future?
Aye.
A lot of talk around COPE right now.
But you see, COPE, I think Likota has seen that his party is dead, basically, or is dying. So his pronouncements on land, on race, and all of that, I personally think that he wants to get those white South Africans who would traditionally vote for Freedom Front Plus, but because of how we've moved forward as a country and some of the ideas that Freedom Front Plus still stands for, they feel uncomfortable, but would not be comfortable to vote for the ANC, EFF, and so to some extent they would be voting for the DA, but for one reason or the other, they no longer identify with the DA. So I think he's clever with that one. Let's see after the elections if it will translate to an increased number of votes, at least in those areas.
I have another theory as to why people might vote for COPE or for Likota.
Okay.
Because he's such a great meme generator. We need to continue.
We don't know. As a public service.
Yes.
And so, heading up to these elections, for the past few weeks, I've had a lot of people asking me, who do I vote for? And for the first time, I can't seem to offer advice on this. Even as a political reporter, I'm so torn between who to vote for. It's becoming literally impossible. But there is this notion and this trend that we've seen of splitting your vote between national and province. What do you guys think about that? Do you think it works? And do you think it works in our society as well?
Well, it depends. In terms of the numbers of people who do that, because it can result in a whole lot of mixed messages.
Yeah, of course.
So, for example, let's take Gauteng. So if people say, I can't vote for the ANC at national level because of that contaminated list, but I can vote for the ANC in the province because, you know, there's more credible, and Panyaza. Panyaza has a lot of support, you know. Okay. So.
I would love to meet one person who's saying, I'm not voting for the ANC national, but I'll vote for the ANC in Gauteng because I love Makur.
I've never met someone like that yet.
So they could do that to say, okay, my heart is still ANC. I don't want the ANC. That's another reason. I don't want the ANC to lose Gauteng because then, the economists and the markets are very nervous about the economic hub. The ANC losing control of the economic hub. So that could be some of the reasons why people do that. And then they might say, to send a message, I'm going to vote ANC on one ballot and DA on one ballot. So, you know, to send that kind of message. Now, what that means is that you have no... you're not paying any attention whatsoever to the policies, to the leaders. You're just voting in order to make a point.
But do people vote based on policies anymore? Is it just an emotional vote, do you think, as well?
I think some people do. I think we underestimate voters. Some people really, think about their vote, which is probably why a lot of people are just so confused. Yesterday, I went to cast a special vote.
Who did you vote for?
To quote former President Thabo Mbeki, my vote is a secret and so forth and so on and stuff like that.
This is a safe space. It's a safe space.
But it really was, almost a traumatic experience. So just like, first of all, the ballot is like 60 centimeters long, right? So you have this massive page, you know, with people's faces and logos of parties you can't even recognize. And now you sort of need to. Also, I'm the youngest voter in this room, right?
Maybe.
It's a competition, yeah.
Oh, Rajani, you've been doing.
Be careful what you say next.
So, but it was a difficult thing, and I think that it can go two ways. I think it can either show the maturity of our democracy after the elections to say, okay, there'll be five MPs that representing five political parties in parliament, you know, and that's just maturity of democracy. I don't know. But at the other hand, it could just be, further perpetuate apathy from people and just people not caring enough because it's too muddied the space. So,
Abira?
Back on the splitting of votes, I think where you would likely see it more than here in Gauteng, it would probably in the Western Cape, because there are people who are happy with the DA there when they decided to change from the ANC. But nationally, they still love Tumamina, and they would generally vote for him. They are impressed with his message and what he claims to represent and whatnot. So I think in the Western Cape, more than here in Gauteng, because in Gauteng, they claim that even their local numbers or supporters are as a result of what Tumamina brings and whatnot. And he's the biggest support generator for them here. They are actually hoping that he's the one who's going to win the election for them. So, yeah, in KZN, I'm not sure.
Oh, no, my province is a place of confusion at the moment. Even when people are wanting to split, they don't know how. I mean, like everywhere, which you don't know how to split because, yes, it's a Tumamina affection. I mean, but in the province, you know, there've been IFP people who moved to the ANC and then moved out of the ANC and went to the NFP and now don't know where to go. So this whole split vote is really, really, a dilemma for people for undecided voters.
Well, guys, I think that's all we have time for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck with voting tomorrow. Let's hope all goes smoothly. And I think we'll be back with you next week.
Where are you going to vote for, Chair?
Listen, I'm sticking with Juanita on this one. Who are you going to vote for up here?
I'm not voting.
No, you're not.
No, no, that's no. We will grill him. I'm ready to make the grill. Yeah. Ask the bucks.
The next time you'll be hearing from us is after elections, which will be just as important as we discuss the results and what it means for South Africa going ahead. Thank you so much for joining us. And guys, thank you for joining me in the studio. Catch you guys next week.
Shop.